CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Republican presidential debate number two featured seven candidates taking on the current administration.
Joe Biden should not be on the picket line. He should be on the southern border.
Bidenomics has failed. Wages are not keeping up with inflation.
Mike Pence and Tim Scott absent from the face-off, the frontrunner, Donald Trump. CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett.
Even though there were some choice words, some criticisms of the former president at the margin, no one really took him on. If you'd watched that debate last night, you'd think the worst thing that former President Trump had done to America was not attend that debate.
He says he won't attend the next one in November either. Lawmakers in the House begin the first open hearing in their impeachment inquiry into President Biden next hour. CBS's Linda Kenyon has details from Washington.
Republicans hope to establish that the president's son, Hunter, engaged in questionable business practices and that Joe Biden and his family benefited. The president denies any wrongdoing. Committee Chairman James Comer, by his own admission, has said the hearing is not expected to cover new ground. Instead, it will delve into issues already investigated by the special counsel in the Hunter Biden case.
The U.S. soldier expelled from North Korea yesterday arrived in San Antonio this morning. No word on what type of discipline Travis King might face after he bolted across the DMV in July. But in a speech in Pyongyang today, Kim Jong-un loudly cheered when he called for an exponential increase in nuclear weapons production to counter a threat from the United States. Police in Maryland say they've arrested a man wanted in the murder of 26-year-old tech entrepreneur Pava LaPere, who was reported missing on Monday. CBS Baltimore's Amy Kawata.
Jason Billingsley has been arrested. Our media partner, the Baltimore Banner, says that U.S. Marshals took him into custody last night just after 11 at a train station in Bowie.
Billingsley is a convicted felon and a registered sex offender. He was released from prison almost a year ago. One night after a massive flash mob looting spree, there was new trouble in Philadelphia. KYW's Tim Jimenez says thieves hit a liquor store.
The looters tore down the roll-up metal gates. They smashed the windows to get inside. And in the mad dash to get out, people were dropping bottles left and right. And this morning, this parking lot is glistening with shattered glass that's sprinkled all over the place.
Philly police say they've made at least 52 arrests in Tuesday night's incident. Blow to people with Lou Gehrig's disease. A panel of experts has voted overwhelmingly against drug maker Brainstorm cell-based treatment, Neurone. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Finding great candidates.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Cole has announced Ellsworth Cooperative Creamery will be required to pay a $250,000 penalty and install additional pollution control equipment at its Ellsworth cheesemaking factory. According to a press release, the Pierce County Circuit Court found ECC violated its wastewater discharge permit repeatedly from October 2017 to August 2022 by exceeding the permit's limitations for biological oxygen demand, total suspended solids, ammonia, dissolved oxygen, phosphorus, and temperature. Wisconsin Republican lawmakers have introduced a bill that would eliminate the need for school administrators in the state to have a license or specific educational training. Under the current law, district administrator applicants are required to have a teaching or pupil service license and a principal license. Republicans say the bill will solve high turnover issues and give local residents control of their schools. The Wisconsin Department of Instruction says the move could create countless liabilities. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media,
Ontario.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend, Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
I know what you're doing, I see it all too clear. I only taste the saline when I kiss away your tears. You really had me going, wishing on a star. And the black holes that surround you are heavier by far. I believed in your confusion, you're so completely torn. It must have been that yesterday was the day that I was born. Not much to examine, nothing left to hide. You really can't be serious, you have to ask me why. I say goodbye, cause I am barely breathing and I can't find the air. Don't know who I'm kidding, imagining you care. And I could stand here waiting.
Under cloudy skies. Richland Center has 62 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. 9.5 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. And just before the break, we were discussing the possibility of a government shutdown starting on Saturday. And I have some information here on how it would affect Wisconsinites. Okay, so here is how the federal government shutdown could affect Wisconsinites. This is the headline in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Claire Reed. It says, another federal government shutdown is on the horizon for the United States if congressional Republicans fail to pass a government funding bill before October 1st. This would be the 22nd shutdown in the last 5 decades, and it would have far-reaching effects on national agencies affecting families across the country. It says, amid largely stalled negotiations on Capitol Hill, the Federal Office of Management and Budget has already begun the process of advising agencies which employees it may have to furlough ahead of a looming deadline Saturday at midnight. The last time Congress failed to pass a government spending bill, nearly 1 million Americans were furloughed or went without pay, President Biden wrote on X, formerly Twitter. Processing times at the Internal Revenue Service slowed down. Military families had less access to critical family support programs. Some federal support for indigenous tribes came grinding to a halt. This most recent government shutdown lasted 35 days, or it should say the most recent government shutdown lasted 35 days from December of 2018 to January of 2019, and that was the longest in U.S. history. So how would the possible upcoming government shutdown impact Wisconsin? That is the question. Would you still receive mail during the government shutdown? The answer to that is yes. The U.S. Postal Service does not cease operations during any federal lapse in appropriations, as it is funded through a permanent no-year appropriation, according to its 2024 fiscal year shutdown plan. This means you will still receive mail during the shutdown, and according to U.S. Congressman Dan Kildee, the approximately 500,000 Postal Service employees are exempt from furlough because the Postal Service is self-funded. And then what about Medicare and Social Security benefits? Would those be affected by the government shutdown? It says here, though some of the Social Security Administration's employees would be furloughed ahead of the shutdown, Social Security recipients will continue to receive payments. Under the administration's 2024 fiscal year contingency plan, many agency services would continue without interruption. These include the processing of benefit applications, appeal requests and hearings, post-entitlement actions such as address changes, and the issuing of new and replacement Social Security cards. A few services, such as verification of benefits or corrections and updates to earnings records, would be temporarily suspended, according to the Bipartisan Policy Center, which is a nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C. Major programs and benefits, such as Social Security and Medicare, are generally unaffected by shutdowns because Congress has approved these programs to spend without an expiration date, what is known as mandatory spending, which compromises about $7 out of every $10 spent by the federal government. So what about federal workers getting paid? Will the federal workers get paid during the shutdown? Well, many of America's 3.5 million federal workers, including active duty military, would go without pay during the shutdown, according to NBC. Federal law enforcement will also be among those impacted. Some essential workers, including air traffic controllers and airport TSA officers, will have to work without pay. In 2019, this led to protests by Milwaukee aviation workers feeling the effects of their missing paychecks. And then what about parks? Will national and state parks be open during the shutdown? It says here the national parks could be impacted right away, while the decision on whether to close them will be up to the Biden administration. Some of the nation's parks have closed entirely during past shutdowns. Those that stayed open and unstaffed were left in states of disarray. According to Reuters, many parks remained open during the 2018-2019 shutdown, though restrooms and information desks were closed and waste disposal was halted. They were closed during a 2013 shutdown. The shutdown could also affect Wisconsin natural sites funded through the National Park Service. During the last government shutdown, the Ice Age Trail was forced to cancel volunteer-led activities as its Ice Age Trail Alliance volunteers are protected by insurance that is federally funded through the National Park Service. Activities led by the state or county at the trail were not affected by the government shutdown, though, so people could still enjoy hiking, snowshoeing, running, backpacking, and more. So what about childcare? How will the shutdown affect childcare? Although K through 12 and higher education policy is largely handled at the state and local level, the impact on families could be significant, particularly when it comes to federally supported child care services. As workers go without pay, families go without child care. Poor families lose support for housing and food, and schools feel the squeeze, said David R. Schuler, executive director of the AASA, which is the School Superintendents Association. He said that in a statement on Friday urging lawmakers to keep the government open. One of the programs that would be endangered right away is Head Start, which serves low-income families nationwide. According to the White House, 10,000 children across the country would immediately lose access to the Head Start program, as the Department of Health and Human Services would be unable to award federal grants to child care centers. And as in the past shutdowns, that would force some preschool and school readiness centers to close. According to the Center for American Progress, a progressive think tank, Bobby Kogan, a senior director of federal budget policy at the center, wrote in a column last week that a shutdown, quote, would have devastating impacts on essential programs that millions rely on for their health and safety. And the longer it lasts, he wrote, the worse off those programs would be. Got to take a break. 18 minutes after 9 o'clock, you're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance.
School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Dom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip with the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
It's going to be cloudy again this morning, but we will gradually clear out. A little more sunshine trying to poke through here by mid to late afternoon today. Our high 70, the wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 57. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 75. We're talking highs in the 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Thunder don't get you, then the lightning will. Music from Jerry Garcia. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Right now in Amory, it is 60 degrees with cloudy skies. And in Hayward, 58 degrees with cloudy skies. And we got 24 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock. Just before the break, we were discussing the possible government shutdown.
and how will it affect Wisconsinites? And I was going over a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I was just to the point here where they were discussing schools. How will schools and student loans be affected? The education department would be forced to furlough about 90% of its staff in the case of a shutdown, according to a 2021 blueprint. Federal student aid in the form of Pell Grants and federal direct student loans would keep flowing, but those programs would be operating with a minimum number of staff amid furloughs, what the department refers to in its 2021 guidance as, quote, skeletal program operations. The lack of bandwidth could pose barriers for students with immediate needs, the department warned, in 2021. And then what about food programs like SNAP and WIC? How would those be affected? It says here the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, which provides food benefits to millions of low-income families, would continue throughout the month of October, said U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack during a White House briefing on Monday. But if the shutdown drags on longer than October, SNAP funding would be put at risk. In more immediate danger would be the 7 million moms and children relying on the special supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children, also known as WIC. That program, according to USDA, helps low-income mothers with infants and children at nutritional risk by offering easier access to things like food and healthcare referrals. Their benefits would dry up within a matter of days, Vilsack said. Though some states might be able to use extra funding to stave off the effects for a week or two. During the last government shutdown 4 years ago, the government nearly ran out of SNAP funding that would have affected some 40 million Americans. And then also, a shutdown would halt EPA, water and chemical facilities testing. Should a government shutdown occur, the White House also warned that most Environmental Protection Agency inspections of drinking water and chemical facilities would also be put on hold. An unexpected effect on food seen during the last shutdown was the effect on Milwaukee's craft beer scene. Breweries are governed by the federal agency, Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, which approves licenses for new breweries, some ingredients, and labels for beers that are sent out of state. During the shutdown, it was not operating. This meant some breweries were temporarily delayed in getting new beers approved and released. And so those are some of the things that would be affected by this government shutdown. There are a few more. We'll get to those as well as some other stories I want to get to before we wrap things up for today. Bottom of the hour break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Something inside you is feeling like I do. You said all there is to say. Baby, break down. Go ahead, give it to me. Break down, honey, take me through the night. Break down, break down. I'm standing here, can you see? Break down, it's alright. It's alright.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. 7 Republican presidential candidates held their second debate last night, missing the front runner, former President Trump. Communication strategist Terry Sullivan.
Regardless of what the issue is and what Republican primary voters care about, they've got to take the fight to Donald Trump, 100%.
He gave a speech at a non-union auto parts factory in Michigan. House Republicans hold their first impeachment inquiry hearing into President Biden next hour. Analyst Amy Dacey.
Even after months of digging, there hasn't been proof yet that I've seen. I don't expect much to come out of this. I think it's literally playing out in this political battlefield that also involves the government shutdown.
Maryland police have arrested a convicted sex offender in the murder of a young tech entrepreneur. CBS Baltimore's Amy Kawata.
Billingsley, who was considered highly dangerous while on the run, had been wanted on a first-degree murder arrest for the killing of 26-year-old Pavel LePere, CEO and founder of EcoMap Technologies.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Bipartisan proposals in the Wisconsin State Legislature would make it a felony to attack an election worker. Public testimony was heard on the proposed bills yesterday. Civil servants have faced increased threats and harassment since the 2020 presidential election, which former President Donald Trump still claims was rigged. The bills would give election workers access to whistleblower protections and make information about them private to protect them from backlash. The Barron County District Attorney has announced there will be no charges filed after a fatal car and motorcycle crash earlier this month. The accident occurred the afternoon of September 2nd on Highway 8 near County Road O. 73-year-old Stephen Roast of Barron, Wisconsin, was killed after a woman pulled out from a stop sign and failed to see Roast on the motorcycle. The Barron County District Attorney stated the driver of the car fully cooperated with the investigation and showed no signs of being impaired by drugs or alcohol. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
Love is but a song we sing. Fears we will die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing and you may not know why. Come on, people now, smile on your brother, everybody get together. Some may go, he will surely pay his. When the one that left us here returns for us at last, we are but a moment's sunlight
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Thursday morning, 9:35 right now. We have 64 degrees in La Crosse, cloudy skies. In Richland Center, it's 63 degrees with mostly cloudy skies. And before the break, we were discussing the upcoming possible government shutdown and how it will affect Wisconsinites. So I was going over a story in the Journal Sentinel, and we were to the part of the story where it discusses federal courthouses. What about federal courthouses? Reuters reported that federal courts have enough money to stay open until at least October 13th. Activities might be scaled back after that point. The Supreme Court would stay open. And then what about farmers and agriculture? The shutdown will cause farmers to wait on subsidy payments, and they'll have to wait on loans and data they need now to make plans for the spring and future growing seasons. This is because USDA Farm Service Agency offices, which process farm loans and gather data farmers need to make decisions, would be closed. Similar to previous shutdowns, marketing loans for many farmers would enter into a state of limbo as Farm Service Agency offices in most U.S. counties would shut down. More broadly, USDA-backed housing loans for rural families would cease as well. And then how about the shutdown impacting Wisconsin's Native American tribes? Many tribes are dependent on federal programs to provide a number of services. During the last government shutdown, Wisconsin tribes had to use their own funds to continue to provide education, health, law enforcement, food pantries, and other services. At the time of the last shutdown, about 1.9 million American Indians and Alaska Natives received basic services from the Department of Interior's Bureau of Indian Affairs, which furloughed over half of its employees. So there you have it from USA Today and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about what may happen in Wisconsin should that government shutdown happen. And we're pretty close to finding out, because it doesn't look good right now. But you never know, something could happen at the last minute. So we've got 9:38 right now, and the next story that I want to get to is about the guy who runs the military. Okay, are you familiar with Mark Milley and the controversy that's been going on surrounding him in recent days, because the former president of the United States called for him to be executed? All right, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who is the highest ranking and most senior military officer in the United States, Mark Milley, okay? United States General. He serves as the 20th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has been in that position for almost 4 years, previously served as the 39th Chief of Staff of the Army, had that position for 4 years, and he also held command, multiple command and staff positions in 8 divisions and special forces throughout his military career. And I'm assuming that you heard the story about Donald Trump calling for his execution because of calls he made to China to let China know that we weren't ready to start a war with them. Because, I mean, the reason why he had to make those calls, or that call, was because Donald Trump was saying crazy things, and Milley didn't want China to think that we were about to go to war with them. And I should mention a little bit about his background. Mark Milley was an ROTC graduate from Princeton University. Yeah, Princeton. And he later graduated from Columbia University. He was appointed chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff by President Donald Trump. And he was the 10th U.S. Army officer to be chairman. And as chairman, Milley is the highest ranking officer in the United States Armed Forces and the principal military advisor to the President of the United States, the Secretary of Defense, the National Security Council, and Homeland Security Council. So, evidently, the former president feels that the call that Milley made to China to let them know that the crazy things that the former President Trump was saying weren't anything to be concerned about, and he, as the leader of the military, had no intention of invading China or sending bombs to China or anything like that, okay? I think he had to tell them that we weren't going to send nuclear warheads over there. But there are several stories in several different outlets about what's going on. You may have even seen some interviews on television with General Milley. I have a story here from Axios, which says General Milley has to take appropriate safety measures after Trump's death post. Retiring Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair General Mark Milley said he's taking steps to ensure his own safety and that of his family after former President Trump accused him of treason in an online post. Milley made the comments during an upcoming interview on 60 Minutes after CBS's Nora O'Donnell noted that Trump last week said that his dealings, Milley's dealings with China, were so, this is a quote, were so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death. The word death is in all capital letters with an exclamation point following it. And Milley, in the interview, said, I'm not going to comment directly on those things, but I can tell you that this military, this soldier, me, will never turn our back on the Constitution. Milley said he had never made any calls to China that could be considered treasonous. O'Donnell asked him if he's worried about his safety following the former commander-in-chief's remarks. And he said, I've got adequate safety precautions. I wish those comments had not been made, but they were. And I'll take appropriate measures to ensure my safety and the safety of my family. So what happened to supporting the military? Isn't that often what Republicans tell us? They want to support the military, and I don't know, it's a strange thing. It's just like supporting the police, right? They say they back the blue, yet when it comes to the Capitol Police, not so much. Hey, I have another story about Mark Milley. This is from The Hill. Trump's threats to Milley fuel fears he, Trump, will seek vengeance in his second term. This piece was posted yesterday at The Hill. Says former President Trump's violent rhetoric toward General Mark Milley is raising fears that he, Trump, will use a second term in the Oval Office to seek retribution against his enemies. Trump on Friday suggested that Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who is stepping down from his post at the end of the week, deserves the death penalty for allegedly betraying him and committing an act of treason. The threat came just days after Milley warned that if Trump wins the presidency in 2024, he would enact vengeance against those he felt have done him wrong. And Milley believes he is at the top of that vengeance or of that revenge list. Quote, he'll start throwing people in jail, and I'd be on the top of that list, Milley told The Atlantic in a profile of the four-star general published last week. Christy Parker, a legal counsel at Protect Democracy, who leads litigation on abuses of power and interference with government functions, said Trump's comments about Milley are, quote, deeply troubling for American democracy. Even just the threats have an incredibly chilling effect on public actors' ability to do the job we need them to do to have a functional democracy, she said. Trump has shown and talked about weaponizing the Justice Department to retaliate against people who he perceives as his enemies, and he did, in fact, do that to people when he was president the first time. The Trump-Milley feud has simmered for years, with the two clashing over the military's role in the 2020 racial justice protests and then the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. But long after the administration ended, Milley remains at the top of Trump's mind, as books and articles have documented steps the general says he took to protect against Trump's erratic behavior. Last week's death threat stems from reports that at the end of his presidency, Milley reassured Chinese officials there would be no threat to Beijing in the final days of Trump's administration, according to the 2020 book Peril by journalists Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. The communication has long infuriated Trump, who took to Truth Social last week to condemn Milley's years of service as treasonous ahead of his retirement from the Joint Chiefs later this week. Milley was actually dealing with China to give them a heads up on the thinking of the President of the United States, Trump posted. This is an act so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death. Peter Fever, a civil-military relations scholar who recently published a new book on public confidence in the military, said Trump is so enraged by Milley because of these public accounts portraying the general as a protector against his presidency. Fever said Trump's quest to castigate Milley is also designed to warn other potential critics from speaking out. He said the strategy has damaged the civilian-military relationship and could backfire on Trump and his allies. Trump thinks he can just personalize this to Milley, but he's failing to understand how this is going to be corrosive of civil-military relations more generally, because if they haven't done something wrong and you're punishing them, then you get a perverse civil-military relationship. 9:47, going to take a break. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
It's going to be cloudy again this morning, but we will gradually clear out. A little more sunshine trying to poke through here by mid to late afternoon today. Our high 70, the wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 57. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 75. We're talking highs in the 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
country club either. This is LA.
All I wanna do is have a little fun before I die. Sit the man next to me out of nowhere. It's apropos of nothing. He says his name is William. I'm sure he's Bill or Billy or Mac or Buddy. And he's plain ugly to me. And I wonder if he's ever had a day of fun in his whole life. And we are drinking beer at noon on Tuesday. The bar that faces a giant car wash. And the good people of the world are washing their cars on their lunch break, hosing and scrubbing as best they can in skirts and suits. They drive their shiny Datsuns and Buicks back to the phone company, the record store too.
Daniel Show, Sheryl Crow, and we've got 9:54 right now. Got time for one more story before we wrap things up for the day. And I saw that our old buddy Paul Ryan was out and about. I think it was Tuesday night. He was at UWM down in Milwaukee to give a speech. It says, "It can't get any worse." That's what he's saying. It can't get any worse. And when he's talking about the Republicans, it says, Paul Ryan laments the state of the Republican Party under Trump, but remains bullish on the future. This piece posted at the Journal Sentinel by Jesse Apoyant. It says, updated 23 hours ago, Dateline Madison. Former House Speaker Paul Ryan sees a country on the rocks, divided by cults of personality, unserious politics, and policy choices driven by nihilism, but he's still bullish on the future of the United States. The Janesville Republican, who represented Wisconsin's first congressional district for two decades and also served as Speaker of the House from 2015 to 2019, and even ran for vice president with Utah Senator Mitt Romney in 2012, spoke Tuesday evening at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I misspoke. I was wrong when I said Milwaukee. He was at UW-Madison on Tuesday night, and he is currently a professor of the practice at the University of Notre Dame and a visiting fellow in public policy at the American Enterprise Institute. He launched the nonprofit America Idea Foundation in 2019, which aims to, quote, demonstrate that it is the bottom-up dynamism of individuals and communities that truly makes America a land of opportunity and prosperity, end quote. So, Ryan is saying that if Trump is the nominee, Republicans lose. Former Republican President Donald Trump is a bad presidential candidate for both practical and principled reasons, Ryan said, adding that he thinks there is still a reasonable chance the former president won't earn the party's nomination in 2024. His quote, "We lose with this guy," Ryan said, pointing to Republicans' national track record since Trump's 2016 election. "There is another reason Trump shouldn't be the Republican nominee," Ryan said, quote, "He's just unfit for office. I think leaders should endeavor to be honest, ethical, moral people who try to set standards for themselves and lead by example across the country. Donald Trump doesn't try to do any of that. He does the opposite, frankly," Ryan said. "So I just don't think he's fit for the job," end quote. However, he conceded, people who agree with him on that point likely wouldn't be inclined to support Trump in the first place. He said, "I think the better argument is the electability argument." And Ryan also said that the Freedom Caucus makes the Republicans look like fools. Asked what advice he'd give the current Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy as he seeks to avoid a government shutdown, Ryan quipped, "I've seen the movie before. He knows what I think." The former speaker said he thinks McCarthy reached a great deal with Democratic President Joe Biden on the nation's debt ceiling, but the handful of Republicans in the far-right House Freedom Caucus decided to blow it up. Members of the Freedom Caucus think they win by losing, Ryan said, but instead they make Republicans look like fools. So that's where we'll wrap it up. We'll let Paul Ryan have the last word today. Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you have a great day. Do something nice for someone, and I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
This is my home. This is where I belong.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 80P Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.